Blog Talk Radio.
In the old days, you couldn't hookie school because behind every drawn shade was an eye. And before your mother got off the bus into the house, she knew exactly where you had gone, who had gone into the house. Parents don't know that today. I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was two? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you don't know he had a pistol? These are not political criminals. These are people going around stealing Coca-Cola. People getting shot in the back of the head over a piece of pound cake. And then we all run out and we're outraged. Oh, the cop shouldn't have shot him. What the hell was he doing with the pound cake in his hand? Brown versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem. We've got to take the neighborhood back. We've got to go in there. It's right around the corner. It's standing on the corner. It can't speak English. It doesn't want to speak English. I can't even talk the way these people talk. Why you ain't where you is, go wild back. I don't know who these people are. And I blamed the kid until I heard the mother talk. And then I heard the father talk. This is all in the house. Everybody knows it's important to speak English, except these knuckleheads. You can't land a plane with why you ain't where are. You can't be a doctor with that kind of crap coming out of your mouth. Why can't you hit the streets? Why can't you clean it out yourself? It's our time now, ladies and gentlemen. It is our time. And I have good news for you. It's not about money. It's about you doing something that ordinarily we do. Get in somebody else's business. It's time for you to not accept this language that these people are speaking, which will take them nowhere. What the hell good is Brown versus the Board of Education if nobody wants it? I mean, this is the future in all of...
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logic.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerve Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerve.
Sorry, folks, for that clip as far as cutting it off too soon. Pardon me. Let me get some water. I'm a little parched. Let me shout out to Marco Rubio. He's special, isn't he? Folks, welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, the midweek and review edition. I'm a little parched. Let me get more water. Anyway, I hated cutting that off short. I really didn't mean to. I miscalculated there, folks, with the great Bill Cosby. That was from his infamous 2004 NAACP Gala speech, the pound cake speech, where he really digs in. I mean, he gave birth besides the Oracle and the Wedger, gave birth to my methodology. I was getting there anyway. I was getting there, but he sealed the nail in the coffin with that particular performance. So it is what it is. I will play it again. Ever so often, we have to revisit Dr. Cosby because his words are just, it was done in 2004. We're coming up on 10 years since that infamous speech, and we need that kind of talk more than ever, more than ever. Anyway, you know what? Let's go to a quick groove. When we get back, after I get some Marco Rubio water, we'll have more discourse. We've got to talk about the possible demise, I say possible demise, of Christopher Dorner. I don't know. Anyway, this is West by Southwest by As One. A little bit of acid jazz. We'll be right back. One of the great acid jazz jams that I used to play when commencing to the club, about a decade or so ago. Folks, welcome to Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk, the Midweek in Review edition. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Giving you the best of urban alternative music, black rock, acid jazz, progressive hip-hop, bebop, jazz, you name it, we will play it. We try to give you the best that conventional radio just refuses to play. I cannot do the show, not with any kind of effectiveness, efficacy, without my partner in white-collar crime. That is the captain. Captain Kirk, your time is now. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
I don't know what I'm about fitting to do, boss. I don't know. I just don't know. Speaking in the words of the great Bill Cosby. Now, we have something known as, that the people don't know about. We have Afro Nerd After Dark, And we have the great Afro Nerd behind the scenes. Now, Afro Nerd was talking about something that was very interesting behind the scenes. Now, I would like for the great Afro Nerd to get into that right now, because this is something that I think the people just need to hear. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Listen, behind the scenes, I almost think we might have a slightly more successful show if it was an Afro Nerd After Dark, where there would be more colorful language. The N-word might be spouted to one's discomfort. You think Django was a rough road. You think Django, try Afro Nerd After Dark, Afro Nerd Unchained. We should do a show like that where it's just, but you know, it would ruin the branding. It would ruin the branding, sir. But I really would like to do, our show is very honest. We're honest, clean-cut cats. However, I have my moments, the captain has his moments, where we dig in far deeper than how we, this is a mild show compared to the After Dark Unchained edition. Anyway, what the captain was referencing to was a show I heard earlier today. Now, I am a SiriusXM subscriber, and I will try my best to get the audio with the Opie and Anthony show. And I've been on Opie and Anthony quite a few times, actually. They can't get enough of me. I don't know. Captain, this is what boggles the mind. As a caller, they keep me on for a long time on any radio show. Why is that?
Well, you're the sensible black man, so, you know, they have to have you, you know. They find you as the anomaly, so they want to keep you going.
Listen, I am up for hire, hero for hire. We know what that comic book is. Luke Cage, hero for hire. Anyway, I'm listening to Opie and Anthony, right? And they are talking about President Barack Obama's State of the Union address from yesterday. Sharp man, obviously. He is our POTUS. Sharpness, tightness. That's what an Afro Nerd is supposed to be. Running the country. But he is not a liked Afro Nerd in many circles, and he knows it. So I'm listening to Anthony Cumia, who is the other half of the of Opie and Anthony. And his shtick is always riding that racist, racial line. So he was just going off on Obama. Sly black jokes. Slick black jokes, whatever. But then he's got a bugaboo about the call for gun control. And he thought that the victims that he had that were in attendance during this State of the Union, that they were props. They're just political props. You know, they don't mean anything. I don't want my guns messed around with. Because he's an avid gun lover. He is an avid gun lover. At least we're led to believe that if we're believing that some of his shtick has some reality. So he's just digging in, and he's saying, well, these implosions by whites, they're, and I'm paraphrasing here, but these implosions by whites, they're minuscule, they're infinitesimal. Statistically, you're having what's happening in the urban centers mixed in what's happening in the white suburbs, and there's no comparison. Why am I losing my guns to crazy black folks in Chicago? Blacks are crazy. They're crazy in Chicago. Enough of this. And he's going into his histrionics. I mean, it's radio shtick. Not that riveting to me, obviously, because I do radio. Even though it's a podcast, we do radio. We've been doing it for a number of years now. So I have a different ear when I listen to it. So I'm going to have to go in there again, I suspect, to tune them up a little, because, listen, folks know I dig in on what's happening, the lower tier foolishness, the quote unquote, quote unquote, nigga nonsense that is evaporating the black, young black males, young black females. The young lady that lost her life a few days, or I think maybe within the week after the inauguration, it's heartbreaking. So I refuse to perceive them as props. But he makes a point when he talks about blacks this, blacks this. Black people are crazy. They're killing each other. Blah, 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 blah. The problem I have with this is that, and people have problems with me. For folks, know, they have problems with us when we dig in. When we dig in, God forbid, on a quasi-tribal level. On a quasi-tribal level, when we dig in, it's problematic. But you know what? If you pay close attention to what we say, we couch our arguments, people, with discernment, with specifics, with qualifiers, with quantifiers. I'm not going to say white people this, white people that. I might say a number of whites, a few whites, or many white people. Or I might get into ethnicity, white ethnics. I might be a bit more specific in just not putting the entire white race on the grill. But when it comes down to how black folks are perceived, it is always in the general. So now, the captain and myself, if we're to go by what Mr. Kumia says, we are inextricably connected to Shaquan and Lakeisha. I refuse to do that. He has to be tuned up. Why do I have to be pulled in with the nonsense that happens with Shaquan? There's a young man, Captain, I can't recollect his name. I don't want to bother to look it up. But it's making the rounds in local news because I remember the incident, Captain. Now, so it's amazing that almost 10 years has passed when this tragic incident happened to two black cops, black officers, undercover officers in Staten Island. They were killed execution style by some miscreant. When his trial came up, he spat before the family members of the police officers that he killed during the trial, like a rabid beast. Now we hear that he, for the lack of a better word, he knocked up a female corrections officer, a female prison guard, who obviously is dysfunctional, and thought that if she gave him a child, it would give him some hope because he's on death row. And he was trying to play the whole mental deficiency thing, but now we're finding out that he has concocted this scheme, which is a rather sophisticated scheme that would not befit someone who is mentally deficient. So he probably put himself on the grill much quicker than he would have expected to. And actually his accomplice in this pregnancy, who was making a decent salary, a somewhat attractive woman of Latin descent, she may do 15 years for wanting to get pregnant by a lower life form. The reason why I mention this is that I have no connections to this whole deal. Middle class black folks, upper tier black folks, commonsensical black folks, working class black folks, people that have to go about the business of life are not caught up in this foolishness. So why do we have to be connected to it when certain people decide to just put all of the black race under the rug? Somebody has to speak up and just nip this in the bud and call for discernment with these people. It is offensive. I use the term PWT, which is the acronym for poor white trash. There's lower tier whites, There's all kinds of white people that many of us are aware of. When it's black folks, it's the Yankees. Those blacks. It's not like the MLB, where if you're going to be analogous, it would be blacks should be, well, they're the Giants over here. There's the Braves over here. There's the Yankees over here. There's the Dodgers over there. That's more of what the black community or the perception of blackness should be. Different teams, different locales, different objectives. But we are really perceived that way. And there are some black folks that also promote this as well. Anyway, I have to get on the show again and tune these people up. Tune them up. Captain, there was one other point that evades me. I'm supposed to get into about this. There's another part to this. I remember. The other part, too, is when they talk about the blacks are out of control in Chicago or any urban center, they fail to look at them as Americans. What is Afrinor talking about? It's amazing to see some of these newscasters, and some who come from a certain background, some of the white newscasters that try to interpret this stuff, how they have a cloud over them, Captain. There's a cloud of consciousness where they get close, but something stops them from really honing in. They were starting to see that, well, what happened in Connecticut is more pronounced, or it's getting more attention, and this is why we're talking about this gun control. Why is it that these kids are getting more attention, but the stuff that's going on in Chicago isn't? And they were getting close to saying, well, they pretty much said that, well, you know, these are white kids and people care for them and people don't care for black people or the mainstream culture or mainstream whites do not care for what happens in the inner city. But things start to change when white life is in jeopardy. Things start to change when white life is in jeopardy. And ironically, black people care too. Many blacks care too, and I share the same thing. It's about humanity. These babies, these children that were grotesquely killed, I care. It's not a racial thing with me. It's a human thing for me. But when it comes down to black life, it's the blacks. If we were perceived as Americans, this is what we said behind the scenes, Captain. I want you to come in as I close this out. If we were perceived as Americans and not the blacks, we get this. I said the infamous term before. I've used the infamous term before. Putting the hood on lockdown. We can't control ourselves. We can't. We can't, Captain. We can't. Or I should say, the lower tier communities cannot. It's not going down. Actually, there's even a fog that's around urban radio. I called up urban radio, open line, a few years back, talked this quote-unquote radical stuff. They wanted to get me off the air, but they wanted to keep me on the air, Captain. They wanted to get me off the air, but they wanted to keep me on the air, if you follow my point. X amount of years later, all of a sudden, they've adopted Afro-nerdism. Same show, Captain. Same show. Now they're saying, well, we might have to have drones. We might have to, and you see that Dorner has opened that door. This is what Captain was talking about behind the scenes. So when we talk about martial law and stop and frisk, which some radical black folks and mystical black folks hate, but the time has passed for that. You cannot continue to have young children, babies, the elderly, the innocents be used as collateral damage like it's a nothing thing, like it's nothing. We can't continue to live this way, which means there needs to be points of entry with the military or maybe the police as a paramilitary force to control these folks, because you can't continue to live this way. It's gotten that bad. No one is acting internally to say, well, we have to do it ourselves. Because I know I'm not going to confront Shaquan, Captain. I'm not going to confront Shaquan and tell him to stop it. I'm not going to do that. Okay? That's not going to happen. I'll tell him on the radio. Oh, I would tell someone I know personally. But some strange black dude that I just happen to that I see from a distance and say, hey, you know, bro, you need to really need to reconsider that. He's going to tell me F you, N-word. F you. That's what he's going to say. That's it, Captain. Americans, if they stop looking at us as the blacks, because we're supposed to be Americans, it's an American problem. Bring the military in, tune up these out-of-control, lower-tier Negroes, cut the nonsense. Who are you? Give me your ID. Let's ruffle through your pockets. Who are you? Where you're going? It has gotten that bad. It has gotten that bad. And the most liberal show, progressive show, that I called in, let's say 3 or 4 years ago, when I spoke this way, they wanted to get me off. Oh, he's never had, he doesn't have kids. Oh, get him off. I don't like the way he's talking. I don't like the way he's talking. Now, Afro Nerd, my man. Come on, Captain.
Well, you were very clean, precise, and concise to the listening audience. You got the very clean version, and it was done very well. Only thing I would just add as a footnote, when you're dealing with these neighborhoods where these particular individuals are operating from, in my opinion, what first would have to be done is, just as the great Afro Nerd said, you have to lock the neighborhood down. And after you lock the neighborhood down, whether that's paramilitary, whether that's actual military, whatever you want to use, but the neighborhood would have to be locked down, then you start to institute the programs to these individuals. You give them an opportunity. So then you can, from there, you can remove the military, what they're actually supposed to be doing over there in Afghanistan. You know, that's actually what's supposed to be happening in those countries. The military comes in, they lock it down, and then they hand it over to the people. Problem is, they can't do that over there. Not to go off on a tangent, but it's tangentially related. That's what needs to happen here. You need to come in with a military system, lock the neighborhood down, then you start to put the money into the neighborhoods afterwards. Then after a period of time, the problem will dissipate. There you have it. Back over to you, Captain, Sir Apple Nerd.
We're going to go to the Christopher Dorner story as it's developing.
Yes.
Because I tell you something. The way this is turning out, I mean, I'm led to assume that the body that was taken out from that burning cabin is Mr. Dorner.
Maybe.
I'm led to assume. But if it's not, oh, gee. Oh, gee. Wouldn't it make a great live-action story that we've seen so many heroes on the screen portray?
Yes.
He really talked himself up like a badass. A badass should have had a dead carcass on him. He should have had a carcass. He should have had a cadaver on him, because the way it's described is, oh well, there's the burning body, and then there's his ID.
Mm-hmm.
He probably put the ID's probably his wallet on top of the chest of the dead body.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect place. How you like it now? I'm just saying, it's probably him. It's probably him, or he could be in Venezuela somewhere. I don't know if Venezuela, is Venezuela have extradition laws? I don't know.
No. You get that. Hey, they're not bringing you back. No way. With Chavez? No way.
For the 60, if he was as smart as he appears to be, you know, he dips for about 5 to 7 years, and the brain becomes muddled. You know, listen, the Americans forget things that happened last week.
This is true.
if he was smart, as he appears to be, he disappears into the mist. And then, 10 years later, people start getting picked off. Well, what's happening? What's going on?
You write me just like a movie.
I've seen it before. That's how you're supposed to do it. Not that I approve of this young man, because some radical blacks do. They have a Facebook page. He has a lot of likes, actually. We forget this young man killed innocent folks. It wasn't just police officers. He killed this young couple that were related to one of his quote-unquote enemies. Yes, Captain. Sorry about that.
You know what this story reminds me a lot of? We have to go back to the 80s when we had a lot of police corruption here in New York. And also, that's also coming out of the 70s. 70s, it was really bad as far as police corruption. But there was a man named Larry Davis. Larry Davis. Okay. Larry Davis shot 6 police officers in, I believe, November 1986. And then he was able to elude capture for 17 days. He turned into a cult hero, if you recall. A cult hero. People were pumping their fists, say, go Larry Davis, go Larry Davis. He fought back against the police. Now, the difference is Larry Davis was allegedly a drug dealer. Christopher Dorner used to be a police officer. That's the difference. Now, what we do here in America and in most parts of the world, we put value on life. You know, we say, he's a drug dealer. He's nothing. They put a little more value on the police officer. Both men are black, though. But it was the same type of energy that was running around through the black community and to the Latin community to a certain extent when Larry Davis was going around. People were pumping their fists. Going, he fought back against the police. The police are bad. The police is this. Now, the thing is, when it comes to dealing with police, regardless of however you feel, you need the police. Without the police, we'll have chaos, anarchy, and bedlam. We don't want that here. And with any type of organization, regardless of whatever it is, you're going to have good, and you may have a little bad. Not all police are totally good. Most of them are good, and you will have a little bad. That's the reality of it. That's the reality of it at this given time. So what you want to be able to do, which is almost impossible to do, because you're dealing with emotion. And remember, as I always say, decision-making is done in the limbic system. So ultimately, you're making decisions from an emotional standpoint. So you walk in with a bias. You're already subjective when you need to be objective. Now, being totally objective, blocking out all emotion. If this man, allegedly, because that's what the media says, allegedly, so I put the onus on the media, entire media, that's where we get the articles from. This man allegedly killed people. He needs to be brought in. Regardless of how you feel, that's being objective. Block out the emotion. Okay? Clear, you see clearly. We cannot have people running around killing people. He needs to be brought in and tried just like anybody else. All of this running around, go man. Yo, do what you do, do what you do. You're killing people. We can't have that. We just can't have that. And that's all I really wanted to say. Back over to you, Sir Afro.
All right, listen, Kirk, let's go to a quick groove. When we get back, we're going to go dig deep into the Dorner case. And actually, I've been meaning to play this clip quite a while back. It's a clip of the rap artist The Game on Howard Stern. Now, the reason why I'm going to play this clip once we get into the Dorner discussion, it's because there's also a flip side as to police malfeasance. Just as what the captain was getting into, There is malfeasance in every vocation under the sun. Doctors, nurses, teachers, bus drivers, you name it, you name it. If there's a profession, there's somebody doing something they're not supposed to do within the capacity of that profession. So being a police officer would be no different. However, you know what? I'm about to go into it, and let's go to the funk break. This is a classic jam. I play anything under the sun if you haven't guessed, folks. This is Urban Alternative. This is a classic jam by the great Debbie Harry. This is Backfired. Niles Rogers produced. We'll be back. Let's groove a little.
Diplomatic flag, depressed me, the glitter in your eyes, undressed me. You were polished slick, really thick, wasting time, dropping lines like I could get you into movies. But we wound up at hot dogs or hamburgers to the backfire. Your plan backfire.
Baseline, folks, that baseline. I'm going to go into it again, Captain. I'm going to go into it again. Let me calm myself. Let me get a glass of water, some Rubio water. Let me calm myself. I got to quench my thirst. What happened to the baseline? What happened to the baseline in black music? We got to stop this. This is nonsense, Captain. That baseline, listen to me, my brother. I'm being tribal now. We're brothers. Who would have thought? Listen. That baseline is everything to blackness. And yet, I'm not the black guy. I'm not the black guy, but I understand cornbread. I understand the female curvature of the buttocks. I do understand that. This is, hey, I go there at times, folks. I understand that. I understand the baseline to the black experience. and yet you love Chris Brown, who knows nothing about the bass line. These nouveau minstrels know nothing about the bass line. We saw Frank Ocean on the Grammys. We're supposed to talk about the Grammys today, too. We may have to push that over, Captain. No bass line. White musicianship is on top, and rightfully so. I said it, and rightfully so, because we're not doing it. Justin Timberlake rocked the house in a black-esque fashion because we don't do it anymore. Okay, that's it. I had to black out. I'm going to black out, folks, every once in a while. The bass line, I'm sorry. Anyway, let's get into this Christopher Dorner matter, Captain. I should play a clip. I actually have two clips on this thing. And it's still going ongoing, actually. I mean, he was holed up at, I believe, Bear Mountain in California. He was there for almost a week, allegedly, and causing havoc. They ended up having him wedged in a cabin, major league fight. And now we're assuming that either he caused the fire in this building, in this cabin, or rather the officers on the ground. We do not know. We may never know. Now we're hearing this. At first they didn't want to admit that there was a charred body in this cabin and that it might be Christopher Dorner. Now they're more or less saying that, but it's going to be several weeks for forensics, allegedly, to determine if that is indeed the body of Dorner. But I find it very convenient that he had his ID. If this guy was such a mastermind, why would he have an ID on him that says Christopher Dorner? If you're on the run, why would you have an ID on you? It's irrelevant at that point. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, to me it sounds like a great movie if that body is not his. Or if they admit that it's not his. That's the key. Will they admit it's not his? Anyway, let's go to this clip first. This is courtesy of Russia Today News. Russia Today News discussing Chris Dorner. It's a little lengthy, but I think it's about 5 minutes in length. I think you may want to hear this in its entirety because not only are they giving you a bit of what's happening news-wise, but they're also interviewing a police officer as well, a former police officer, who's able to give greater insight as to Mr. Dorner's capabilities and just what could happen or what could transpire. So let's go to this news clip. And then we will unpack. Hold on.
Well, the largest manhunt in the history of the Los Angeles Police Department continues with teams combing the hillsides of a ski resort where the suspect is believed to be hiding. Thousands of police officers are searching for Christopher Dorner, who is accused of having allegedly murdered two civilians and one police officer. Now, in a rambling internet manifesto, Dorner had declared war on law enforcement officials as well as their families, accusing the LAPD of, quote, internal corruption, racism, and the concealment of excessive force. Now, for more analysis on this story, we're joined live by Michael Ruppert, investigative journalist and actually a former LAPD officer himself. Sir, thanks so much for being on the program. Now, as a former LAPD officer, what do you personally make of Dorner's accusations against the department? I mean, do you see any validity to these claims, or are they simply the ramblings of a disturbed individual?
Well, first of all, let me say that, you know, having been a detective and an accomplished investigative journalist, I do not accept the manifesto as it has been presented to the public as necessarily being authentic, complete. There are serious changes in the writing style, and that leads me to suspect that it may have been tampered with. However, with regard to his specific allegations about his case, and I'm currently reviewing legal documents that are becoming available online, I have to tell you that with regard to his allegations about a rigged trial board hearing and very egregious unprofessional cover-up of excessive force, but also management, malfeasance, perjury, and a lot of other serious things, I believe him 100%. I do not think that the culture that existed in LAPD from the way back from the time when I was there up through Rodney King. I do not think it has been eliminated. I do believe there is a good old boy network there, and I believe that just with regards to that, that Chris Dorner was a victim.
Now, sir, before we move on to more details about the case with Dorner, for our international viewers who may not be familiar with the issues involving police brutality, perhaps excessive force, the things you touched upon in the LAPD, can you expand on that and sort of explain briefly for our international viewers what the actual problems with the department are?
Well, the Los Angeles Police Department, of course, has had a history, both good and bad, mixed. But a lot of unfavorable incidents of the use of excessive force, of racist behavior, as was evidenced by the Rodney King beating and the Rodney King insurrection or riot of 1992. There have been, from the Rampart Division scandal years later, and many other incidents, the LAPD has been shown and has a consistent cultural problem with racism, cover-up, and cronyism within the department that has victimized, I think, and probably driven out a great many good officers. I left for similar reasons.
Well, that's quite interesting. Now, of course, when we go back to Dorner, I mean, this man is accused, allegedly, of murdering three individuals. He reportedly had a hit list of some 40 potential targets. I don't know if that's true or not. But at the same time, his case has surprisingly triggered an avalanche of support messages on the Internet, some even hailing him as an anti-system truth fighter. What would you explain is behind this the support that's emerged?
Well, I don't condone what's happened, and I want the violence and killing to end. But more important, I want him to be brought in alive, which is something I do not think that LAPD, law enforcement, or the U.S. government wants under any circumstances. He has stood up, and he is an accomplished, experienced covert warrior. He has worked with special operations personnel. I have many years of experience working with and dealing with U.S. Army Special Forces, Navy SEALs. This is a warrior trained many levels above anything most local police departments would be familiar with. He has skill sets. He's a threat. He hasn't been caught yet. And he is articulate. He was an officer in the U.S. Navy, honorably discharged. He served some serious, respectable combat duties. He had command. And this is not a flake. This is not some guy with a high school diploma who became a cop. And for that reason, he is both symbolically and in a real, very real physical sense, a threat, because he has stood up. And I don't think that anybody wants him to come in alive on the government side, and I think he should be brought in alive.
All right. Well, there's also been some information that news helicopters are perhaps being prohibited from following the manhunt, which has sparked speculation, at least, that the authorities could perhaps try to take him down without giving him a chance for a day in court. What do you make of that?
Well, like I said, I come from a CIA family, and I've spent a great deal of time with special operations warriors. His skill set and his tradecraft is far superior to anything law enforcement has. Tracking helicopters means nothing, or using helicopters to track the manhunt means nothing. He's several steps ahead of law enforcement, and everything else is just show at this point. They found his truck burned in Big Bear, and I firmly believe he's had months to prepare this operational plan. His legal appeals ran out in 2012. So he's had many months to prepare a plan, and he's four or five steps ahead of law enforcement at this point. He probably had a time delay device to burn his truck in Big Bear, and he was probably hundreds of miles away. I think that at this point, law enforcement has no idea where he is.
Well, it certainly sounds like something out of a movie. Michael C. Ruppert, investigative journalist and former Los Angeles Police Department officer, weighing in on this very bizarre story as it develops. Thank you so much, sir.
All right, folks.
Wow.
See, the way this person described Dorner, it makes me believe that that body is not his.
Yep.
I'm just, you know, I don't know. Now, maybe it is. Or if it isn't, then will we get the truth out of that? Maybe, you know, it's only so much that California police will tolerate as far as what can be construed as embarrassment. That's another element to this. What I want to say briefly, Mr. Dorner is a sad case in the sense that he does have an intellect. I do see how he is being positioned in the media, and it depends on which media you are talking about. Obviously, we do our fair share here at Afro-Nerd Radio, but when I listen to mainstream media and when I listen to urban radio, as expected, you get two different things going on. Mainstream media, I find it very interesting as to how they marginalize his manifesto. That's very interesting to me. Even this young lady, in opening up this segment at Russia Today, she says the ramblings of Mr. Dorner. On urban radio, and that is, I should say, not the minstrel radio, but urban radio that is more politically bent, even if it's progressive, at least it has some kind of cohesive discourse. Urban media, they are positioning this, his manifesto, as not being rambling. They're saying this is pretty clear discussion from him. This is a pretty clear diatribe from Mr. Dorner. They're not so dismissive of it. They're not dismissive of it at all. I've heard quite a few mainstream media outlets, they don't even want to really talk about the manifesto. It's an afterthought. Whereas in urban radio, it's the centerpiece of this horror show. Somewhere, you have to look at this in between. You have to look at this down the middle. You have to give some credence or some analysis of this manifesto, and you have to also be honest about the criminality that's going on here. See, at Afro-Nerd, we try to give you straight, no chaser. So he killed several people, several officers, a young couple, a man of African descent, and his fiance, who was of Asian descent, an attorney. The attorney was the daughter of a high-ranking police officer that allegedly represented Dorner on one of the cases, or I guess the major case that he felt he was wronged and ultimately dismissed from the force. So instead of, even though it would be equally as wrong, instead of focusing in on the person that he believed did him wrong, he went after family members that had nothing to do with his demise. That within itself makes him problematic, and he has to be compartmentalized, discussed, and it's just disgusting. You lose your point when you start killing indiscriminately. But he's got quite a few Facebook likes. A lot of people have approvals of what he's done, or they're trying to compartmentalize what he has done. So they're looking at him as the living embodiment of Django. That's what's really going on here. There's a certain level of radicalism that many in the black community, not all, but many in the black community can appreciate, and that outlaw aspect they are connecting to. They're connecting to the outlaw in him. Now, my problem is, as I said before, Captain, and you even mentioned this as well, there's no vocation, there's no job, there's no career that is without malfeasance. Somebody is going to screw up as long as they have a job, no matter what the job is. They're going to do something they're not supposed to do. You can't go to a priest because he may be up to something. And you know what? We see Pope Benedict, and that's another story that we not have time for. Pope Benedict is stepping down, whereas this hasn't been done in 600 years. And allegedly, before he became a pope, he, I believe, as a high-ranking, I think he was a cardinal, he, I believe, was in charge of all of the molestation cases. In other words, he was in charge of the vault, of this vault that has all of the recorded molestation cases that have transpired in the Catholic Church in the world. He was in charge of that. He was in charge of the infamous skeletons in the closet. He was in charge of that. So now he's stepping down because of his advanced age, not because of any really specific illness. It's very shady. But we've seen this stuff before. Before the S hits the fan, let me get up out of here.
Yep.
Now there's a talk of there perhaps being a pope of color, either from Latin America or from Africa. I would like to see that. But we've seen when the ship is sinking, they bring in the black guy to turn things around. So I'm wondering, this is a pattern, folks.
Good point.
When the ship is sinking, because the Boston racist Catholics, Irish Catholics, I have a difficult time believing they're going to kiss the ring of the All Father, who happens to be black. I have to see that. There's a lot of respect. You think they disrespect President Obama? Oh, he's just the president. But the papacy is a whole different matter. You're not supposed to be able to get away with that. Let's see how deep the racism goes when the All Father, because he's supposed to be an extension of God. If he's a black man, I want to see that more than I want to see a black president, Captain. I want to see a black pope.
Should be very interesting.
I don't believe it, but they might not have a choice, because politics, there's politics in everything, and there's politics in the Catholic Church. And if the S is going to hit the fan, we better have a black guy, because he's distracting. He is a black face in the middle of chaos, is distracting. So he seems to be a front runner, this gentleman. Anyway, back to Dorner. Sometimes I do go off a tangent, but it's tangentially related. Anyway, there's malfeasance in every vocation, ladies and gentlemen. However, that should not prevent black and brown communities from wreaking havoc and creating reasons for these officers, white officers specifically, to come into your neighborhood to wipe up the blood. This is what they do. Some of us in the lower tier regions create havoc. I know you don't want to hear this, but this is what's going on. We create reasons for them to have to show up and to wipe away the tears from the mothers that are crying and to wipe away the blood that has been running in the streets. If you have stopped creating reasons for them to come see you. Is that controversial, Captain?
Not at all. It is controversial, but it's the elephant in the room, another elephant in the room, but you're telling the truth. So proceed.
So I'm listening to Howard Stern. This is a few weeks ago. And the rap artist The Game, who you know, many folks who I guess care, was a protege of 50 Cent, Curtis Jackson, and then for some reason he bit the hand that feed him. You don't know what's true. It's almost like wrestling in modern-day hip-hop. But he's been known to have a few firefights here and there, even in the rap game. You don't know what's real and what's not real in rap, but there's been some violent skirmishes that have occurred with rappers where the police have to come in. They're called in. the captain and myself do not conduct ourselves in a way where the cops have to see me. The cops do not have to see me because, listen, if something goes down with the police, stop creating situations where a dirty cop can catch you off guard in some way. And I have something for that, too. I have something for the dirty cops as well, and I'll mention that in a moment. But I want to play this clip, ladies and gentlemen, of The Game being interviewed by Howard Stern. And I want you to pay close attention, because although he is a man of some means, if we're led to believe, you know, you never know the truth with these rappers, but if he has some money, you're going to hear a type of mentality that should really make you wonder, why do we create situations where the cops have to show up? So listen to The Game, listen closely, and this proves my point. Hold on.
Let's go to Ralph. Go ahead with The Game. Go ahead.
Hey now. Hey, by the way, great commercial for JetBlue earlier.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, yeah. You know what? You're running from the cops. You get right on that JetBlue, and they get you right out of the out of town.
What route is that? I don't want to take. Hey, listen, in all seriousness, you seem fairly intelligent. How can you blame the cops? Because you're involved in speeding and shooting and pot and all this other stuff, and you make it out like the cops are out to get you. If you weren't doing this illegal shit, they wouldn't be on your radar.
James, how do you respond to that?
Fuck the cops.
That's it.
Yeah.
In other words,
come on, man.
It doesn't need. You know what it is? I respect you, man, and I appreciate your question and all that. But my opinion is simply my opinion. I don't really have to explain it to you or anybody else. It's just fuck the police. And you love the police, so just love them. I'm not saying, hey, why do you love the police? You love them all you want, man. Write Christmas cards, go to Hallmark, and swing your bats around, do your thing.
But you don't want your kids to say fuck the police, do you?
You know, my kids are old enough to do whatever they want to do. They can say whatever they want to say.
Let's go to. Jay Dirty. Yeah, he's coming up on the outside. Jay Dirty.
All right, let me play that again, Captain. Let me play that again. Listen to The Game. Listen to his whack answer. This is anecdotal, but he is representative of a mentality. Ralph Sorella, who's a regular, he has his own Geek Time on Sirius XM. He's a caller this time. It's about, I don't know, it might have been about a month ago, month and a half ago. Listen to the legitimate question he asked him, and listen to his not answer. This mentality, Captain, we can appreciate Dorner for coming out. I'm not doubting that there are some crazy cops, some racist cops. Hell, I have friends who were police officers that retired. I know some police personally, and they have told me, as policemen of color, of some shady stuff that goes on. Nevertheless, there is a group of black people, there's a group of people that are very rarely engaged with police. Why are you engaging with the police? This is a legitimate question. And listen to the whack answer. Hold on. Again. Listen.
Let's go to Ralph. Go ahead with The Game. Go ahead.
Hey now. Hey, by the way, great commercial for JetBlue earlier.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, yeah. You know what? You're running from the cops. You get right on that JetBlue, and they get you right out of the out of town.
What route is that? I don't want to take. Hey, in all seriousness, you seem fairly intelligent. How can you blame the cops? Because you're involved in speeding and shooting and pot and all this other stuff, and you make it out like the cops are out to get you. If you weren't doing this illegal shit, they wouldn't be on your radar.
James, how do you respond to that?
Fuck the cops.
That's it.
Come on, man.
It doesn't need. You know what it is? I respect you, man, and I appreciate your question and all that. But my opinion.
That's it. You get the point, folks.
Wow.
They wouldn't be on your radar if you weren't getting into this gangster nonsense. Well, F the cops. Sorry for the expletives, folks. You know we run a clean operation here, but on occasion you can't avoid it. But that is a mentality. I have encountered that same mentality in lower tier conferences I have had. I've had consultations with some lower tier people, believe it or not. And when you have a, I have. Listen, the Oracle is a business owner in a lower tier community. Mr. Starks, his family runs a dance school in a lower tier community. And you will encounter, you will, it's unavoidable not to have discussions with certain folks. And when you hear their reasoning on certain things, and when you play logic games with them, your head will spin. So I don't really care about cops that are, well, I don't want to be completely off the map. I do care about cops that are doing wrong. I mean, criminals are criminals regardless. But it would be nice to own up to some of the things that are going on where the cops have to be called in, and then you have to hope and pray that you get a fair deal. And beyond that, Captain, get this novel idea. This is something that maybe Mr. Dorner should have thought of. Surveillance. Now, he took copious notes. And it's unfortunate that maybe, you know, in some weird way, people dying, this is where the radicalism comes in. People dying and this kind of thing, now we really want to know what the manifesto, now we know what the manifesto is. It had to be, death had to occur for the manifesto to be taken somewhat seriously. And even then, that's a little shaky. But when you have the films, video, I said this before, Captain. Instead of some of our younger folk putting so much money into their cars, 24-inch rims, or even beyond, believe it or not, beyond even 24-inch rims on cars, get your car some surveillance equipment. I even plan to do that. That if something happens that is not above board, you can surveil him. This is not rocket science, but enough. Is it enough spy films to know how to do this? Record them. A picture is worth 1,000 words. We saw the upheaval that occurred with the Rodney King situation because it was videotaped, whether I agree with that situation or not. We're gotta start thinking outside the box and being victims and letting things happen to us and not owning up to the things that we might be implicit with. Captain, your thoughts.
Well, it's not really outside of the box, you know, with saying going ahead and let me videotape an individual. That's just thinking beyond step one. That's all that is doing. So we're not even doing that. We're not saying, okay, this is step A, B, C, D. This is what I have to be. This is what I have to do. First, you have to do that. Then we have to go outside of the box. They're not even doing that. And that's why they're getting caught up. They can't see more than 5 feet in front of them. Listen to how game is carrying on. You're putting out albums that are selling, at least before, not so much now. You know, he was a double platinum artist, not so much anymore. You know, it's all about MP3s, downloads, and everything else. Whole music industry is that's a whole different thing. But anyway, just as you said, here's a man of means. He's acting like he's a person that's selling, you know, crack on the corner and the police are coming and I have to go throw it and stash it. Chuck the drugs, and go running around the corner. That's not you, game. It's not you, game. And I believe he got married to or he's involved with some woman that's a school teacher, you know, that's highly educated, the exact opposite of him. So I don't know what's going on with him. You know, back and forth. That's not really too intelligent at this point in the game. Ironic, you know, no pun intended. Game, this point in the game. But anyway, you know, and just not thinking down the line. They're not thinking down the line. You know, if you have $10,000 in your pocket today, you know, by Friday you should have a certain amount of money. You shouldn't blow all of this money. That's a whole other story. Athletes going broke. Rappers going broke.
artists going broke. That's a whole other story. Not to go off on a tangent, but it is tangentially related. This is the reality of it. It's all intertwined. And it all amounts to what? Something, a simple word. Ignorance. Which goes into something else. Lack of intelligence. Which goes into something else. One parent household. And we can go on and on and on and on and on again. Which, of course, the one parent household is an elephant in the room. They don't like when we talk about that here. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say it. But this is the truth. It's the truth. When you start to compare statistical analysis, and people hate when I do that. They hate when I do that. Because when you look at statistical analysis, you start to look at reality, and then you yourself, everybody, myself included, you begin to look in the mirror. And we know something that people always say, the truth hurts. And this is just the reality of the situation at the given time. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, what you're saying, this whole deal with cognition, Captain, I'm very much on this. You know, I was looking at at Jeopardy, I believe it was yesterday, and there's a young man of color. But I must admit, he's got an interesting look. let me be kind. Young man of color, he's got this huge afro. Somewhat disheveled looking, but he's extremely bright. They have some teen version of Jeopardy, and he's pulling out these answers. There's a man of Indian descent, I should say a teenager of Indian descent who goes to math clubs. You know, he's doing the whole stereotypical thing as far as cognition. Asians are stereotypically perceived this way. Math class, went to Cornell. You know, he's in high school, but he's already going to Cornell for some kind of math thing. However, the man with this huge afro, the young man with the huge afro, who's in the rock music, incidentally, in the rock music, kind of has this disheveled look. He is beating these people. Very intelligent, a quintessential afro nerd, I want to try to find a clip of his performance on Jeopardy because he's amazing. And what will be interesting is that if you choose to look a certain way, then at least be the kind of person that someone might underestimate. Because now you have to overlook this gentleman's appearance because he is extremely bright and well-spoken. He's got his stuff together at a very young age. His cognition's on point. We have to start to promote, ladies and gentlemen, thinking blacks. I'm going to be very blunt, almost like Ann Coulter. Thinking blacks. Thinking blacks. That whole deal of 1 in 10,000, that whole Django reference, that could be construed as being somewhat insulting, actually. I even looked that up on the internet. That you know, if you look up the 10 most insulting things about Django, that's one of them, that a thinking black person is 1 in 10,000. That's actually one of the mantras that's strewn throughout Django Unchained, is that when Django's, outlaw persona starts to emerge, he comes off as a thinking black man. A thinking black man is a threat. These dum-dums, like the game, these dum-dums, they don't pose a threat. You could be easily figured out. But when you're a thinking black person, you're a problem. You're a problem. Why would – that is what's truly radical, Captain. And I'm confused why we haven't learned this yet. Why haven't we learned this? We don't – I've seen it. I've experienced it. They do not know, if you don't use the term the oppressor, let's say this for the sake of the radical crowd, the oppressor does not know what to do with you when you're thinking. They don't know what to do with Obama. They don't know what to do. You don't know what angle this guy's coming from because he's thinking. But these dum-dums, as I said, the blood is running through the streets, literally. The blood is running through the streets, even in the New York City area. Even in middle-class areas where you might have middle-class black areas, You will have, we talked about this before, Captain, where you will have parties, because black folks have to party. We have parties in residential houses. Oftentimes, they end up in chaos, where the outside world looks at us as if, well, they can't even gather. They can't even have a peaceful gathering. At abodes, at residences, chaos occurs, and the impression is, the tagline is, when black folks party, they die to party. We got to cut this. We got to cut these memes out, people. We have to cut these themes and memes and tropes, and start to think, because I would want to be more threatening, personally. And the threatening is in the thinking. Anyway, Captain, any more thoughts on this Dorner case? I mean, I guess it is what it is right now. We have to wait and see to see if this charred body, the charred remains, are his. I kind of don't want them to be, just for S and giggles.
That's crazy.
Just to make it interesting.
Just to make it interesting. Just to make it interesting. Well, we just have to see what unfolds in the next couple of weeks to see what happens. Whenever they can get, you know, I guess, you know, dental recognition or, you know, from the bones or what have you, from that body. Let me see what happens from there. That's all.
All right, listen, let's go to a quick groove. When we get back, I think I want to talk about the Grammys.
You sure?
And,
let's talk about Blurreds and how I don't like the name Blurreds.
All right, we can go into that. All right. Yeah, Blurred is, Afro Nerd sounds so much better.
So much better. Uh-huh.
Blurred. That's not too much thought in that.
No.
Not really. I mean, I'm just saying. Blurred. All right. This is Lenny Kravitz. Come on, get it. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
I'm not
a game, the great Lenny Kravitz, Roxy Roker's baby boy, as well as Al Roker's cousin, Lenny Kravitz. Come on and get it. Folks, this is Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620. As the captain spoke about before the break, this whole portmanteau or Franken word blurred. Now, some Franken words actually work. You know, what word am I thinking of now? Now I can't think of the word. But there are words out there that have been put together that just seem to fit. Blurred, I don't know. Anyway, shouting out Black History Month. We're at the midway point of Black History Month. And The Root, the Washington Post, The Root, and I would implore our listenership to simply go to theroot.com. They have an article called The Birth of the Blurred. Now, you know, of course, the opening article talks about Urkel, Jaleel White's famous character or infamous character. One would say he's probably the most well-known nerd. You had Raj. I'm dating myself now, but Raj from What's Happening and What's Happening Now with another nerd. It's been a black nerd, I should say, or Afro nerd. So they're talking about these nerds of color through history, these blurs. And, I mean, it's an interesting anecdotal data. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with it, but I just have a problem with the portmanteau blurred. The first one they're talking about is Crispus Attucks. And, you know, he's the first person to be killed during the infamous Boston Massacre in 1777. So, I mean, he's I don't even know if we consider him a blurred, but I guess they're putting him there as a blurred of history. They're also mentioning Lucas Santomy, who was a physician during the 1600s, actually trained in Holland. So, yeah, he would definitely be a blurred. Lucy Terry Prince, they're having her here as an author of the oldest known work of literature penned by an African American woman, an African American, the poem The Bar Fight. So she has the oldest known work of literature penned by an African American. That is amazing. She lived between 1730 and 1821. So I would definitely implore our listenership to go to The Root, check out the blurred article of these blurs of history. You know, that's one thing that, you know, we try to emphasize, obviously, Captain, is that the notion of black intelligence and black genius is very much part of the black experience. And America's penchant for de-intellectualizing things. I'm saying America's penchant, because black folks, we are the microcosm. In the macrocosm, everyone's trying to dumb things down. We're trying to dumb things down in this country. But our history, our lineage is rife with folks of supreme intellect. And I want to go back to those days. This young man on Jeopardy, young man, maybe I think 15, 16, 17 years of age, very intelligent, pulling out all types of anecdotes that upon sight someone might not think he would know these things. Even not even about color, just by age. By age, he's pulling out things that one might say he's not supposed to know. That's why, Captain, you know, we've done this in person. I don't give young folks breaks with things they should know. shout out to our friend Sally V. We stay on her. Because I don't care how young you are, just because it happened before you were born. Hell, there's things that we talk about all the time, Captain, that we're not supposed to know.
This is true.
But we know. We got about 3 minutes, sir. Any Any more thoughts?
Well, I thought it was a very interesting article, but just as you said, I have a problem with the name, Blurred. It's good that they're highlighting this, but that name, you know, it didn't take much thought. Afro-Nerd just sounds much better. I think Afro-Nerd is the perfect name for the situation. It exemplifies it a lot better than Blurred. Listen to that. Sound lazy, too, doesn't it?
It is Blurred. It is lazy. Black and Nerd.
You're just a Blurred.
Black and Nerd.
Oh,
I mean, you know, come on. Even Bono came up with Afro Nerd.
Yes, he did.
We spoke about this. In speaking to Afro Nerds, I believe at Georgetown, maybe a year, not even a year, maybe 6 months ago, an African student or a student of African descent said, what should we do? Because we know that Bono's thing, besides music, is his humanitarian efforts in Africa. And he said, it's your time. This is the era of the Afro Nerd. Oh, you know what that means to the captain and myself. There's things that have to start cooking behind the scenes. I'm just going to keep it at that. But once he said Afro Nerd, oh, I called up captain right away. Oh, we have to start. We got to get on the ball with this thing. We've got to get on the ball with this thing. I'm just saying. Captain, we got less than a minute. I think we're going to have to close shop.
Yes, sir.
Folks, you know what? Also, I don't know if I told you this. It looks like we're very close to having the great Maceo Parker grace Afro-Nerd Studios. That will be a big get. He works with Prince currently. He's worked with George Clinton, and he's worked with James Brown. It doesn't get any better than Maceo Parker. So we're working on scheduling something with him. He has a new book out. So hopefully, crossing our fingers, we will have Maceo, as James Brown used to say, Maceo coming down through Afro-Nerd. Prepare yourselves, folks. This is the era of Afro-Nerd. I did not lie. Okay, this is Black and Gold going out, a mashup. We'll see you on Sunday, Double Show Grindhouse. It's been real. And keep it thoughtful. See you on Sunday.
you're not really here. I don't wanna be either. I wanna be.